Well, now let's look at Paul, the beautiful disciple of Jesus, who all of whose letters are on this subject, who talks about it an extraordinary amount. Philippians 3:6-9 is a beaut example to look at, because Paul was a Pharisee and became a disciple, and we can see the shift. If any of you feel locked into a way of looking at the law, such as I've described earlier in that Model A, then don't be frightened by that. Paul was locked in it, and look at Paul. In fact, we've all been locked in it. We were all trained in it. It's a very natural way to look at the law in our desire to do God's will. It's perfectly normal. It's just that there is a thing called the Christian experience and conversion. Paul is good to watch because he went through it and he describes it and his letters are full of it. Look at this. Philippians 3:6-9, I read it at the beginning. As for the law, I was a Pharisee, he says. What more do you want? As far as the law can make you perfect, I was faultless. But something happened, a new way, a new Torah, a new direct approach to the mystery. Because of Christ, he says, I considered all as disadvantages. It was getting in my road, all that. It's rubbish. I've accepted the loss of a lot of it. Beautiful, whatever. Goodbye, he says. I'm no longer trying for perfection by my own efforts, the perfection that comes from the law. I want only the perfection that comes through faith in Christ, through my response in love to the one who loved me so much. I only want to be loved and to let that, like a dear old father here a few weeks ago, you can see it all over him, let that be the key to my response to life. And if you love and you find yourself knocking over fences, well, you'll get a barked shin, but keep going. Paul talks in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, goes through this question again. He had to, because he's trying to bring everyone where he'd been. Eh? And he says, talks about his own compatriots. And he says, whenever Moses is read, whenever the Torah is read, there's a veil over their minds. A veil over their minds. It will not be removed until they turn to the Lord. We, with unveiled faces, reflecting like mirrors the brightness of the Lord, there's no Venetian blinds here, we all grow brighter and brighter as we are turned into the image that we reflect, like the full moon facing the sun just looks beautiful. It's got no light of its own, but it's facing the sun and takes it all on and reflects it beautifully. And that's our job, is to look at Jesus. He's the way, and learn from him to be gentle, humble in heart and obedient and so on. He goes on. 2 Corinthians 4:6. It's the same God that said, let light shine out of darkness, who shone in our minds to radiate the light of God's glory. Not the glory in the law, though it had some, it did reflect God, but the glory on the face of Christ. And so we see Paul, I believe, taking our second model of understanding, Paul recognized that the law came out of Moses and others' reflections, inspired reflections, on the revelation of God. And so he took it as very important, as we must take law enacted by faithful and earnest and inspired people. We must take it very seriously. We're not on about neglecting it. But the way to take it seriously is to help that law protect me against overlooking values that are there. And then when the law made for man, the law helps Paul look at Jesus, but he looks at Jesus, he doesn't look at the law. It helps him look at Jesus, who in whom God was and who radiated the glory of God. Galatians 2:16. It's giving you a few key passages really here. What makes a person righteous? Right. We looked at it in an earlier chapter. What makes a person righteous is not obedience to the law. Not walking along these barbed wire fences. But faith in Christ Jesus. No one can be justified by keeping the law. The law cannot bring you to see the face of God. It didn't help Paul ultimately. It got in the road. It was a disadvantage. The life I now live in, this body I live in, faith in the Son of God who loved me, who sacrificed himself for my sake, I can't bring myself to give up God's gift. If the law can justify us, there's no point in the death of Christ. It seems that Paul finally recognized the limits and the dangers of the law when he reflected on the crucifixion, which takes us right back to the beginning of our lecture. The people who murdered Jesus did it in the name of the law. The law was probably Deuteronomy 13, which read like that. If a prophet or dreamer of dreams, this is God's word in the Torah, if a prophet or dreamer of dreams says to you, come, let us follow other gods, you are not to listen. Yahweh is testing you to know if you love Yahweh, your God, with all your heart and all your soul. That prophet must be put to death, for he has preached apostasy from Yahweh, who brought you out of the land of Egypt and redeemed you from the house of slavery, and he would have made you turn aside from the way that Yahweh your God marked out for you. You must banish this evil from among you. And the high priestly court of Judaism judged that Jesus was deflecting people from the way by drawing them to follow a God that they did not recognize, a God that was not behind the law. And so we're told in Mark 14:64, they all gave their verdict, he deserved to die. This dreamer of dreams, this false prophet. And Paul says in Galatians 2:19, through the law, I'm dead to the law. When Paul saw that the law, as it stood, could end up crucifying Jesus, he became aware what a terrible thing it could be in the wrong hands, understood wrongly, as he himself, Paul, had understood it. The law made Paul stone Stephen to death. Obedience to the law brought him to that terrible place. And obedience to the law could bring a married couple to the breakdown of their marriage, as you well know. It could bring a priest to the edge of sanity. It could bring anybody in this world, if that's what we're on about, to terrible things, and it has brought about religious warfare and bigotry and all kinds of horrible things have grown in that garden. There's got to be another way, however important a law may be and however wise elements of it are. God the Father, says Colossians 2:14, has overridden the law and cancelled every record of the debt that we had to pay. He did away with it by nailing it to the cross. When the hammers belted the nails into the hands of Jesus, the law died because it showed itself up. It's not the basis of redemption. It can never be. It's a guide to be handled with great care. Romans 10:4, the law now has come to an end. They're powerful words. You know, don't dilute them. The law has come to an end with Christ. Everyone who has faith may be justified. No one can be justified in the sight of God by keeping the law. So I conclude with you tonight. Everyone knows we need laws. We need to find words to express values and wisdom. We need to find words that are accurate and truly applicable to a precise situation. We need general laws that have to be adapted in particular cases by particular people to the environment in which they are, but that express general wisdom. We need all these things because we've got to learn the values. But it seems obvious, totally obvious to me, that Paul came to see that the law cannot be the basis of the way. The way is larger than that, it's more mysterious than that, it's about a God who is immanent and transcendent, it's about the face of God being revealed in the many, many facets of life, and the face of God is love. And so Jesus was attuned to love, taught Paul to be attuned to love, taught James and John and Andrew to be attuned to love, and the whole Christian way is refining us to love. And if we want to see what values there are in the Christian life, we go to the Beatitudes, we go to the Sermon on the Mount, and we find there an extraordinary vision of a possible way of living. And there don't seem to be, well, the fences aren't that obvious. It's kind of almost too big for that. It's like a river pouring into the sea. When we finally come now to look at, I think that Jesus was crucified by people because they were locked into a false understanding of God and God's will. And unless we come to terms with that, there's a danger that I may crucify you in the same way, and you, me, with the best will in the world. So I'll leave it at that.